Yo, what is up, all you freak bitches? We've got another episode of the Psycho Monkey Universe, and in town for a very special guest performance on the Psycho Monkey Universe podcast, my buddy Zach. Give us your full name. I can't remember off the top
of my head. Zachary Stein.
That's so easy, and yet I'm too high to remember it.
That's okay. Hello, Psycho Universe. Psycho Monkey Universe.
What's going on, buddy?
Not a whole lot.
You just came from a set and went fairly well, you said?
Yeah. It went pretty well.
Yeah. Well, it's always tough to tell when you're an open micer, like, how well a set really is. Mm-hmm. I actually think, like, the out-of-town performances, like, are actually, like, the best judge of how good your jokes are.
Yeah.
Because your open mics in town are more bringer shows than anything else.
Right. I try not to... I like if my friends want to come, like, and bother me about it, I'll tell them when to come to a show. But in general, I prefer to perform for strangers. It's always a better, you know, litmus test of what's funny, what's not. Because, your friends give you the benefit of the doubt.
Definitely. Now, you're one of the rare breeds of comics out there. You're a sober comic.
Yeah.
And you don't drink or use any sort of substances at all?
No, not anymore. Just,
Not even nicotine?
No, I never was a cigarette smoker.
Wow.
I used to, and I got a DUI, which was kind of, got me a start to open my eyes, but, it never really, it would enhance my life temporarily, but it would just kind of, I can't handle it. I get too fucked up.
Well, at least you know about that about yourself, and you're like, yeah, no, I can't do that, because then I'm gonna be doing rails off of a hooker's pussy in, like, 3 days, and... I'll be like, where's my car? And then you remember you sold it to an Armenian drug dealer. And
didn't get there yet. My bottom was not that bottom. But
it could be.
It could have been. Yeah, it could be. Who knows? How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I've been taking... little time off from the open mic nights. I got a little burnout. I was doing every Thursday. I was going, doing my workout, then going to yoga, and then going directly to the open mic nights, still in my workout clothes, and performing, and then going home, and then going to work. So I got really burnout.
Yeah, it's tough. I do school, work. I try to work out 7 days. I try to work out every day, but
me too.
Sometimes it doesn't always work out, but yeah, and then comedy on top of it. I try to get up a couple times a week.
It's always good if you can get up once a week, at least, but, I mean, sometimes you just can't fit it into the schedule, and it's hard. But the good thing about Michigan is we have a vast variety of open mic nights.
Yeah, if you're willing to drive, the options are plentiful.
The problem is my Saturn isn't as nice as whatever that is that you're driving.
That was a rental car.
That's a rental?
Yeah, someone smashed my car was in a parking lot, and someone smashed my driver's side mirror, and were kind enough not to leave any information at all and just drive off.
Yeah.
But rental cars are fun because it came with satellite radio, which is nice. And
What were you listening to?
Unfortunately, Howard Stern. They don't have that package that has Howard Stern. I like to listen to the generation ones, like the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. I generally fuck around those. Sometimes classic vinyl, which is The Who, the Rolling Stones.
I'm a big
Zeppelin.
Jam On fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, my experience is minimal, so.
I'm a big fan of, have you ever been to a music festival, or do you kind of stay away from that, considering how many substances are there?
Not because of the substances, I've been to concerts and shit, and I've never been to a festival, but the live music I love music, live music just never carried much appeal to me. If someone else will put in all the work, get the tickets, all that stuff, then I'll go, and probably have a decent enough time if I like the band. But it never seems worthwhile to me. I'm odd. I'm in a minority on that, I know.
Yeah, it's not for... Whoa! That's... You disconnected us from the internet, it's all good. It's all good, and it'll all be fine, because we are not on Ustream or anything like
that.
We're
not live streaming.
We're not live streaming, so...
They hit something.
It's the USB receiver right there. That's the wireless internet connection.
Should I push it in?
Don't worry about it. Just do your best not to bump into it.
I apologize.
It's all good, man. It's very relaxed here. I'm stoned as fuck, so it's not
tired as fuck, so it's...
We're
it's not as bad as me being stoned as fuck, because when I get stoned as fuck, I can't speak at all. I just,
Do you get very paranoid?
Yeah, especially about anything I just say.
You get too high,
No, it doesn't require getting that high, really. It just happens after just a few hits. But yeah, I just analyze everything I'm, like, gonna say, and then just decide to not say anything, and it's weirder.
Yeah, see, you should really play around. Like, I'm not saying that you should risk your sobriety if it's gonna be too much for you.
Yeah.
But if you ever had the desire to smoke weed, you should just take, like, one hit.
Yeah.
And see how that affects you. And then after you do it a couple of times, then take two, and then take three. Especially with the weed nowadays being so strong.
Yeah, it is strong.
If you're not smoking all the time, it can really knock a punch on you. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going down to Florida, and obviously I'm not bringing anything on the plane because that would be illegal.
Why are you winking, Ben?
I'm not. How dare you, sir? The TSA might listen to this. The NSA could be listening right now. I don't need to be on a no-fly list. These are non-refundable tickets.
I thought it was a come-on. I'm sorry.
It's, but I'm leaving for Florida, and obviously I can't bring anything. Mm-hmm. So when I come back, I'm going to get retarded high.
Yeah.
It's going to be ridiculous, because I'm going to have 8 days of non-smoking.
Yeah. See, for me, it's never worth it. My anticipation of it was always, anticipated it being a bigger solution to, like, my, you know, not always feeling so up and shit, and it was always kind of a letdown.
Really?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
It's not like it didn't feel good, but it wasn't...
Do you prefer alcohol over marijuana?
I drank more than I smoked.
Okay.
You know, it depended on the occasion. If I was out with a bunch of people and wanted to be talkative, I didn't want to smoke. I wanted to drink, because that helped a lot with that. If I wanted to really enjoy a video game like Paper Mario, I would smoke weed.
I've had some of my best comedy sets on 2 Jack Daniels.
Yeah. I would do comedy drunk. I was really good at chugging beer, like, insanely fast. And I would chug on stage sometimes, but, back when, so many years ago, but, it would sometimes go better than I would sober, sometimes it wouldn't, but I couldn't really replicate it. So
yeah,
it can be very
hit and miss.
Yeah.
I never have more than 2 drinks before I go
on. That's smart, yeah, you don't want to get totally wasted.
No, I think a little bit to cut off some of the edge. I'll be honest, like, as soon as I get on stage, all the nerves go away.
Yeah.
It's really kind of a strange feeling. Like, I could have the worst anxiety and want to turn around 3 times on the way to a set.
Yeah.
But as soon as I get there, like, even if I don't drink, like, waiting for the show to start, as soon as I get on stage, I feel fine.
Yeah. I try to, I've been good about it lately, but, I get in my head of making presuppositions about crowds of they're not going to like me, they're not going to like my style of comedy. And, and that would impact my performance, it turned out. So I just, block all that shit out and just do it full force, no matter what the crowd's like.
Well, the weed helps me from having diarrhea before the show.
That's
which is
good.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a crowd killer when you, shit yourself on stage.
I would imagine.
You could make it funny, though. I'm sure you could.
Yeah.
It's just not me. That's not the style I'm going for.
Yeah, I would smell.
I'm dirty, but not in that way. there's one dude who goes to the Sunday Night Funnies. His name's Big Baby.
Big Baby?
I'm sure he could pull it
off.
Birth
name?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's just a stage name. And I'm sure he could pull it off. He could definitely pull it off.
He could shit in his pants on stage?
Oh, I bet he could make it funny. He's a very big black man, and he's a very funny dude. I've seen him perform a couple of times, but he could make it work. I'll bet he could.
Nice. Well, you should shit his big baby. Shit your pants on stage.
I loved your Facebook post the other day.
Thank you.
About that sparked a... What the last time I checked, it was 68 comment long thread.
Oh, on Michigan Comics Network?
Yeah.
Just asking. I was just curious about... Because, I know joke stealing is a big thing, and I would never do that, I hope.
I think I don't there's think I'd be so desperate much enough, out there,
but,
though.
Yeah, but it was just more of... premises, and I think what the general consensus was, and what I kind of thought to going into it, was just because something sparked my curiosity, I wasn't planning on taking this premise. I think it's fine if you have the same premise as someone or something similar, but to hear it and then, like, make a joke out of it is a little more fucked up. And it wouldn't have been genuine to me. I would have felt messed up about that when I was saying the joke. I would have, I don't know. I like things to come from my voice, from my thoughts.
I think that was the best point that was made on the whole thread, is that I don't think there is such a... Like, if you blatantly steal a joke, obviously that's joke stealing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there is such a thing as, like, premise stealing.
Yeah.
I think that there's so many topics out there in the world. If you're doing your honest take on it...
Yeah.
Then I think that's fine.
And it depends where where you define premise, what level of, you know, specificity.
To me, the premise is just the idea, where you're taking it.
Sure.
I know a lot of people say that the premise is what the initial setup,
mm-hmm,
plus the body.
Yeah.
If that's the clinical term of comedy, I'm not a fucking monologist. So I don't know. Did you ever hear the story that Andrew Dice Clay told about Bill Maher?
No.
They were doing... Andrew Dice Clay needed somebody to come do a show with him.
Mm-hmm.
They booked Bill Maher. But obviously there's going to be a controversy there. Who's going to headline? And
when was it?
I think it was a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
Bill wanted to headline. And so Andrew Dice Clay, he's a fucking savage, you know? He goes on stage and lights the crowd on fire.
Yeah.
Very dirty, very sexual guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bill Maher tries to come out after Andrew Dice Clay torched the whole room and basically is a political comic and gets booed off stage. And as he gets off stage, he yells, "I'm a fucking monologist."
I don't know what that word means.
Oh, it's supposedly someone who studies funny.
Oh, okay.
It, like a biologist.
Yeah.
Is studies.
So
life.
What's the root? Mon?
I don't know.
Okay.
I've just heard the word used in the form of someone who would study the art of funny.
Well, I learned something.
Yeah. Well.
Productive.
Just don't ever call yourself one.
No, I wouldn't. I think people have their own different views, but I don't know. If I were to refer to myself as an artist, or a monologist, I'd be taking myself way too seriously.
The suit definitely wouldn't help that.
No.
No, that would definitely make you...
Yeah, this is my work attire.
Is it really?
Yeah.
And you came straight from work?
Yeah, it's I had a 2-hour drive to the show from work, more like a 2.5-hour drive back home.
Where do you work?
Novi, my family's hair salon. And
no wonder you have such sleek, sexy hair.
I know.
You're a good-looking dude, Zach.
Thank you very much. You are too.
I'm not gay. I'm just a straight man who can appreciate another handsome man.
Yeah. Absolutely. We can smell our own...
Were you going to say farts?
No, our own type, our own people.
Oh,
just
okay.
Handsome fellas.
Well, you know.
And,
I just go for the burly, the very burly lumberjack look.
Yeah, you have a very nice beard. I can't do that. I've been apathetic. I've been lazy and let shit grow out. I haven't really tried to grow a beard, but I've not shaved for 2 weeks. It doesn't come anything close to what you got there.
Oh, this is like 3 weeks, man. This is a curse. This isn't a gift.
Circle here, under my right under my chin. Barren. It refuses to grow hair.
I have this eyebrow scar here.
Yeah.
And a hatchet to the face. That was fun.
Oh, a hatchet? Tell that story.
Okay. I can't believe I'm telling this story. It makes me look like such an idiot.
Well, you can't say hatchet to the face and not.
Yeah, I just story. I can't believe I'm telling this story. So I'm hanging out with my longboard buddies, Eric and Renee. I won't say their last names. For their sake, and we're hanging out playing with hatchets, and
what game?
We were throwing hatchets at a log.
Do you know proper hatchet throwing techniques? Or
yeah.
Actually sticks or?
Well, I wasn't practicing proper hatchet throwing techniques when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna come up on the log and just run up and sideswipe it and just take it with the hatchet.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't happen. I ended up hitting it, and then it didn't stick into the blade, and the blade bounced back and hit my eyebrow and cut it open so you could see the actual, my actual skull.
Ew.
And, I was lucky I was on several edibles at that time.
Yeah.
And didn't really, have too much pain. And I super glued it shut like a man.
Might have contributed to the action.
No, they hadn't quite kicked in.
Okay.
But they started kicking in within about 20 minutes, so that was good.
That's good.
Yeah. It was quite the experience, and I haven't fucked around with sharp instruments since.
Any?
No. I've just been training my
fists. Yeah. I do some casual boxing with the trainer.
I've been doing jiu-jitsu.
Nice. That's probably more efficient.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I believe in training the body as a whole,
mm-hmm.
and so that if you're going to learn how to fight, striking is just one aspect of area that you should focus on.
Mm-hmm.
You should train everything. But my punching power is there, but I'm pretty accurate. I did martial arts for 3.5 years. I have a blue belt in Sachin Wataru. There's only 5 belts in Sachin Wataru, so it's a bigger
black
achievement.
Belt the
black belt is the final.
Stuff?
I was 3 belts away because there's brown belt and then after blue belt, and then there's a brown belt black tip.
Bodan?
And then
you
go to black belt.
When I was I didn't.
You go to Bodan.
Yeah, Bodan, I did. I never got to that. They put me when I was 4, I think. Me and my brother did, I don't know what it was called. We'll call it karate.
Probably taekwondo.
Probably, that sounds right, with Master Kim. And,
sounds very right.
There's good video, but I would just fuck around. I bit my instructor and one of them. I kissed another one on the cheek, a lady instructor. When she was, holding the bag, I just jumped up and kissed her.
It's probably a smart move, man.
Yeah, I never got past the... I might have gotten a yellow belt. I think I got a yellow belt. My brother did pretty well. He ended up... He did some, those, tournaments and shit, Karate Kid stuff.
I did one tournament. I got a couple medals and for sparring.
Mm-hmm.
I have really fast hands. This all sounds so douchey. I don't actually want to hit it. It'll hurt a lot. It'll hurt your hand a lot.
Cool. Thank you for sparing me.
Yeah, it's the secret is just chambering your punch, and you just want to turn it over and crank forward.
Yeah, I know the power's in the turn. I know that.
Well, yeah, and also in your hip.
Okay.
The real power comes from the turn of the hip as well as the turn of the elbow.
What's your defensive position?
I actually prefer the ground. I actually prefer the bottom on the ground. It just suits me really well. I have long legs and long arms.
Ben prefers the bottom.
I have long legs and long arms, so it's very easy.
A gay joke.
for... Oh, I understand. I just I just don't care.
You just ignored it because
I can,
this is what you
I can
love.
Throw people really well.
Yeah.
And don't make me demonstrate, Zachary. I don't want to have to hurt you.
Okay. I don't want you to have to hurt me either. I don't like
I,
being
I
hurt.
Wouldn't do it because you're my friend.
Yeah.
But,
It's funny that, I thought you were black because of your,
Really?
Yeah. I think your Facebook profile picture was, I don't know if you were in some dark shadow or something. But now that I'm, like, you know, hanging out with you in person, you're just...
I'm very white.
Super fucking white.
Super white.
Not that I'm not, that I'm not. I'm pretty much Aryan.
Oh, yeah.
But...
Well, I'm white, but, you were kind of spot on, about the black thing. I do love my black brothers, black power.
Mm-hmm. Stay black, brother.
Oh, dude. Black people are the coolest. I'll just be upfront and say it. It's just like Paul Mooney says, everyone wants to be a nigger, but no one wants to be a nigger. Mainly because of the police harassment is really what it is.
That would be one downfall.
Yeah. It's, well, that, and it's really hard to get a good credit rating. Just banks don't trust you. It's
no.
It's really hard to get a loan. Or a credit card,
yeah,
for that matter.
It's pretty tough for Jewish people with banks, too.
Really?
Cause yeah.
I imagine you don't just call your uncle and be like, hey, I need my FICO score adjusted.
Hey, I don't have a fucking Uncle Ben. Thanks for bringing that up.
Sorry, you're,
My dad just didn't have any brothers.
It's, your grandpa wasn't a plower. It's just, it's okay.
No, just a boy and a girl.
You could have gone deep, man.
I should do have uncles on my mom's side, though. I just don't know them that well. Maybe I do. I don't know. I don't know who's an uncle and who's a cousin. My mom's Lebanese, so there's, like, a lot of people.
Really?
Yeah.
You know that's a big racial complaint in Australia?
The Lebanese?
Yeah. Which doesn't make sense because there's only 8 million Lebanese people in fucking Lebanon.
Yeah.
Like, how many people can there be there?
You know, Dearborn, Michigan has, like, the highest concentration of Arabic people outside of the Middle East.
Really?
In any, like, city. I think per capita, not, like, overall.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I was going to say, how can that be with all the New York taxi drivers?
Yeah, yeah, right. But yeah,
I'm not saying I hate them. I love hummus.
I think New York City has the highest for Jewish people per capita outside of Israel.
I would have thought Florida.
Yeah. Or it might have the most Jewish people total, like even more than Tel Aviv. I don't know. I think those are the top two.
I thought there would it would
Florida's
be...
Florida's not so... I lived in South Beach for like a summer when we have a salon there too. And it's there's a lot of European... There's a lot of European... now their soccer's huge there. Not as... There's definitely still some, like, older Jewish people. You see the Hasidic Jews in their full garb in the middle of fucking 98-degree summer. It's insane. I don't think God needed them to do that, but whatever.
No. But, I mean... did you ever see the Key and Peele sketch where it's the two Middle Eastern dudes working out in a gym and they're looking at all of the, like, weird spots on a woman to get it... aroused by, like,
yes.
They're like, oh, look at the belly button. I didn't even know it was real.
Yeah.
Never even seen belly button before.
Yeah, that's a great show.
It's a great sketch. And I didn't think that was true until I heard a story of, I think it was Sarah Tiana told it, where she went over to entertain the troops,
mm-hmm.
and they were going over in a helicopter, and two dudes saw a women's face unclad,
yeah.
and they just started beating it. They couldn't help themselves.
There's a... Oh, wow.
Just right there, just...
That's... Oh, wow.
Two of them!
Two of them, just... They,
two of them,
yeah.
not looking each other in the eye, just directly down. It's fascinating.
That is, yeah, that's... Unbelievable. Crazy.
Do you know why tables had skirts? Like, why we have tablecloths?
Because the Victorian era with the legs, it wasn't proper to see a lady's bare legs.
Right, and yeah. they thought men would become aroused by
yeah.
seeing table legs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. The Victorian era is cool because, like, they were, you know, on the outside it was so prudish, but, like, they had, like, the darkest underbelly of society ever with, like, the opium dens and all the hookers and stuff, and everyone had a mistress. It was... That's, you know, that's
the French
that's like
still rock
that's like
that
the
way.
Whole basis of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde was the like the Victorian era, like England, London as a whole. Like,
it I didn't know that. It's an allegory for London as a whole.
Yeah, I think so. Hopefully, if I'm wrong, but whatever. I'm pretty sure that's correct. That yeah.
That's awesome, mm-hmm. dude. I'm sure you know Herman Melville.
Yeah, yeah. Moby Dick.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you know when he died? He died so poor and alone that they got his name wrong in his obituary. He was published as Henry Melville.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, dude. Greatest American author since Mark Twain and.
Got his name wrong.
Yeah, it's fucking terrible.
It is. Oh, speaking of him, when I was in fifth grade, we got assigned in school to do a book report on an animal fiction book. I go home, my dad's got like a big library. I was like, do you know any animal fiction books? And he goes, here's a book about a whale. And I read Moby Dick when I was in fifth grade.
Really?
Understood very little of it, but I actually read the entire
book.
Well,
yeah, it's an allegorical novel about the whaling industry, so.
And then I read that whole complex book. And then the assignment is to do, make it into, is it an anagram where it's, oh, you spell the title of the book, so Moby Dick, and you do, like, M is for something, O is for something that has to do with the book, but it could be, like, M is for man at sea or something like that. I'd say probably the lowest brow report ever written on Moby Dick in the history of the world.
The
lowest level of education.
My paranoia about the world started in sixth grade.
Yeah.
Because I read this book called The Hot Zone by Richard Preston.
When did you start smoking weed?
Senior year of high school.
The hot world?
The hot zone.
Hot zone.
And it's all about the Ebola virus.
Okay.
And so my paranoia of, like, diseases and death and like, it was a very young age to realize, oh, shit, we're all going to die and it could happen any moment.
Yeah.
And,
young.
Especially, like, well, and it gives very graphic description of how, like, people with Ebola virus die, like, basically puking up their organs because their bodies become so hot that their organs begin to liquefy and...
Keep going, I'm almost there.
Yeah, it's... it's like, they talk about, like, black bile vomit and, like, this dude on an airplane basically infecting everyone.
Airplanes are, like, are great for disease, because it's especially long flights, it's just recycled air.
Oh, I'm totally, like, looking forward on Tuesday to breathing someone's farts.
Yeah.
Through a spigot nozzle that's pointed at my face. Dude, I want you to tell your Ralphie May story. Because I actually have some new information to tell you after you tell your Ralphie May story.
Okay. I got to open for Ralphie May in front of about 800 people when I had been doing comedy for probably less than 2 years. Me and another comic from the area, Ed Buhner, very funny guy. We won a radio show in the Port Huron area, put on a contest where you had to call in and tell a joke or something to get into, like, the contest. I had a bar, which was to tell jokes, and they were the best 15 jokes got on. Only 11 people called on, so everyone who called in got to go. And then at the bar, you just it was just a contest, basically. People voted, yada yada. There were probably there were some good comics there, some guys from on the scene, and then some people who had never done comedy before too. But we ended up winning, me and him. We got the votes, and I was definitely in over my head. But Ralphie May had no idea that this had happened. And when they told him the day of the show that two people who won a radio contest were going to open for him. And, yeah, I guess he just was like, this is bullshit, but I got to, whatever. He went with it. And he was pleasantly surprised that we were actually finding a new joke structure. And, I mean, I didn't speak to the back of the room. I wasn't loud enough. But I got a couple laughs here and there. And,
did you get to hang out with him at all?
No.
No?
No.
Well, the funny thing about that is Ralphie May actually got his start in comedy, much like you did. He won a radio contest.
Huh.
And he won a radio contest to open up for one of the greatest, Sam Kinison.
Mm.
And bombed.
Yeah.
At the end. Because Kinison told him if he wasn't sure where to go, to just do his old closer and start yelling and screaming at people. and the dude bombed. But I was just amazed when I heard that, because I was like, he was so hostile to you.
Oh, he wasn't hostile. He was just,
Well, he was hostile to the idea of two random dudes. But yet, that's how he got his start in comedy, was a radio contest.
Yeah.
Like, how dare he get so mad at you?
Yeah. But I mean, to be fair, he knows how shitty he was when he got that opportunity, when he had never done it.
Oh, so he was 17 years old.
Even better than anyone, just how bad that could be, I guess.
Oh, yeah, and
to think that was, you know, he's worked so hard to build this career, and two fucking people who called into a radio show at the right number or something, they were the 10th caller, and so they got to perform comedy.
Yeah, and in all fairness to Ralphie, if by some miracle you decide to listen to this podcast and you're listening, please don't feel insulted. I am a huge fan. I have seen every single special you have ever done multiple times. I know many of your bits by heart. Please don't take offense to this. We say this all out of love, and I mean that sincerely. His bit about his son reaching for that model's fat monkey pulling it like a peach.
Yeah, he told that at the show that I did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he could just...
Oh.
There's so much material. He's pretty prolific.
He has 3 hours that he rotates, man.
Yeah.
3 hours of material.
That's
in
wild.
His head.
Yeah, no, it was great to see. And it was a cool and humbling experience.
Oh, I can imagine. I think that's what's great about any sort of creative platform is you have to be willing to accept that you're probably going to be really bad at it for the first 5 years.
Yeah.
At the very minimum.
I didn't think that when I came in. But, I came in with kind of the wrong attitude. I took a year off, and it was really good for me. It sucked that I had to kind of take some steps backwards in the progress I had made with certain people, but it's with certain clubs and whatnot, but it's, you know,
I feel you.
Minuscule in the big picture, and I was getting all caught up in who was getting booked over me for different positions. I think I'm funnier than this person, and it was just so trivial and stupid. So, and if I would have kept that attitude and kept in comedy, I would have been so fucking miserable. So
basically, the traps that every young comic falls into.
Probably.
Yeah. I'm there right now, man. I'm doing the weirdest open mics in the world, and no one knows about me.
Nice.
And I'm kind of really enjoying it.
Yeah.
Because I get to go and do material, and I can get up there, and I've got some weapons in my arsenal. I know which bits I could drop in. Like, because it's a weird place to work out, I can really kind of play at the beginning and then just drop that one bomb at the end.
Yeah.
And still have a fairly good night.
Yeah.
Like, I think a comic's assessment of himself is probably the most honest one in the world, unless you're full of shit.
Yeah, there's definitely some...
For the most part...
But no one who's, like, had any real degree of success is delusional.
Maybe
it could happen. But
I mean,
a
lot of comics
generally you're gonna have a humbling experience before you get anywhere near featuring. You're gonna be very humbled. Before you get, like, weekend MC work, you're going to be very humbled. You should be.
I would love to get weekend MC work.
I get a couple of places.
I'm starting to get to the point where I think I could do weekend MC work. I talked to you about this last time on the podcast, though. It just turned out to be... Dude, there was... I tried for so long. Dude, it's just got this loud hum in the background that, like, you could stand for about 10 minutes and then it'll start driving you crazy, and I just couldn't do it. I couldn't upload it like that.
All good.
It was... Because it was such a great conversation.
Yeah, it was. I was a little more alert than I am today.
It was midday, dude.
I think we're having a wonderful conversation today.
I would agree, man. And I always love sitting around with comics, especially ones that, like, you and I both know a couple of guys who I would consider at least have a degree of fame. They're working to some degree. Stu McAllister is my idea of the local funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
And who was it that you said is around Detroit?
Bill Bouchard, who runs Joey's Comedy Club, just was very encouraging, very helpful, like a comic who he like won funniest comic in Detroit and like Detroit Free Press, and so it's just cool to have someone like him around who actually encourages people and stuff and does and is around.
Yeah. Like, they have more of a shorthand than we do. Like, I love talking with people who are in the same relative area of comedy as me. Because it's a weird time to be an open micer. It might be the funnest time of the comedy game before all the bullshit and the money aspect comes into it. When you're just trying to get good.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind making more money.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's,
But do you really think right now, like, right now, are you funny enough to go on the road everywhere and even if it's a shit show, make that room laugh everywhere?
Fuck yes. No. No. I mean, definitely, I think I could MC at a good few places. But,
I don't doubt that.
Yeah, but, I mean, definitely nowhere near where I want to be. I've only been doing it for like 3 years or so.
But I love that strive and that determination. Like, I love meeting guys who live to get up and like they're just hungry.
Yeah.
They're hungry for stage time. Like, they'll take 3 minute sets anywhere around town.
Yeah,
I love those guys.
Today. I love getting up on stage, I know what you mean. And yeah, it's a cool group of people.
I think Michigan is also a really cool place to come up as a comic because it's a different environment.
Yeah, and there's actually a lot of talent around here. I don't know what other markets are like outside, you know. I mean, obviously there's the like big markets with tons of talent like LA, New York, Austin, Chicago, anything like that.
We're definitely
Austin,
a small
Boston,
market here.
But I think there is a lot of talent here, and there's good role models and shit.
I just don't think there's pay here. I don't think that
it's
like,
the entry level jobs are it's a pretty saturated market for those.
Well, it's a saturated market everywhere for comedy, but the opportunity to make things actually happen for your career are there in places like Austin and New York. And
yeah,
Chicago.
Sure. I mean, it depends on. I mean, there's kind of guys who have.
Denver
lived in
to get
like
a real
Michigan
scene.
Their whole life and done the, you know, Midwest circuit and
triple runs.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what you what your goal of success is. I think making a living and providing for a family is an absolute success.
That's my only goal.
And lots of guys do that, you know, staying here because that's where the people they love are and stuff. It just depends on what you strive for and what's important to you.
I don't care about the sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
But I care about the environment in which to do comedy, and I don't think there's much of a harder environment to do comedy in than LA.
Yeah. I love comedy for what it is at its core. I love making people laugh, but I mean, I'd be lying if I told you I didn't have kind of a fame fetish. that, you know, I, like, fantasize about being famous and shit, and that's a bit of a driving force as well as, you know, just the joy I get out of making people laugh and being on stage and having, you know, having that venue for that honesty. I also have a, you know, I'm not, you know, a pure artist or anything where I have no desire for
everyone who says that is bullshitting you.
Pussy coming at me from every direction.
Everybody who says that they don't care about the money and they're, oh, I'm just a true artist, I don't care about the money. Fuck you. No, you don't. No matter what, in some aspect, you care about the money. Spider.
Yeah, he's got a yellow ass.
Yeah. Even if you don't care to the point where you just want to be able to pay for your supplies to do your art, that's still caring about the money in some way.
Yeah.
And so I think those people are full of shit and aren't being honest with themselves.
Sure.
I mean, at a certain point, would I love to get, you know, a sitcom that was sold into syndication so I could buy my mom a really nice house and make sure she never had to worry about, you know, money or anything like that ever again? Absolutely. Would I be an absolute mess and am I gonna, you know, tongue the barrel of a shotgun if it doesn't happen? No.
Yeah, I bet.
Where was the trauma, Zach? Where was the trauma in your childhood that led you to comedy? Because I find that at least 90% of us are fucking damaged people.
It's there. It's not for the entire internet.
Okay, gotcha. So, I gotcha.
Yeah, it's, I don't want to
just,
you know, make...
We'll just go with the rough childhood.
I mean, there's rough aspects. I kind of... Some people would call me, you know, spoiled and shit. I had a lot of stuff.
There's
definitely hardships and...
Well, everyone has hardships, no matter what financial...
Yeah, and there was some stuff that, like, no one would want to have to deal with. But, yeah, no, I can't... I don't want to...
That's fine, man.
I would have no problem telling you one-on-one, but it's... I wouldn't want to...
No, I totally understand, man.
People who are important to me, and I still love, despite their flaws.
That's the hardest part, isn't it, though, man? And especially when the question I always ask... I did a lot of therapy. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I got put in a lot of therapy when I was a kid, but I was never honest with them. I felt that they were good therapists. They should be able to see through my bullshit, and
so
I never got...
Well, the good ones can, and they'll call you on it.
Yeah. I think to an extent, you gotta want to be honest, and you need to want help, and I don't think I did.
Oh, absolutely. But I think you can still take at least away the methodology and the understanding of how to break down yourself and look at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But what I find is the true... I always asked, you know, why do I always have to be the one to say, you know, I forgive you? Why do I always have to be the one to... you know, suck her up and say I'm sorry, and just because it's your lot in life.
Yeah, I you know, I've thought that way before too. Like with certain people in my life, there who will never take accountability for their actions, who are kind of who are somewhat of a child. But on the other end, I have here's one I can't name names. Is my dad is just a fantastic person. Has always been a great role model, has always looked out for my best interests, and, you know, so I'm not everyone has that, but I have had a counterbalance where it's where I've had people who are awful, and then I've had people who are great, so I'm lucky in that aspect, that.
Absolutely, man, and it's so, I wish that more people realize that we're not all even when we come into this world. It would be wonderful if we were all just on an even keel.
Yeah.
But we're not, because genetically we're different. And some people are set from the get-go. You know, some people, their parents are rich. They everyone's nice to them. They grow up and they have their path set. They get great advice, and they don't have a shit childhood. Their parents actually instill a sense of desire and drive and discipline in them. And they're set for life. You know, and they're set from the get-go. And then there's some people who are born into poverty and drug addiction from their parents, and, neglect and abuse.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's the reality of the world.
But I don't think anyone... Do you think it's that black and white? I think everyone has their hardships and everyone
has their advantages and some shit.
Whether it be... Even being born with... Even... I don't know about born or if it's, you know, developed in life, but, like, you know, a personality isn't... You know, a good personality, being sociable is an advantage some people don't have. I'm, you know, not good when I meet new people, necessarily. And, you know, that's... I mean, I think, you know, being born into wealth is a huge leg up. And,
It can also be crippling.
I had that. I was lucky enough to be born to a pretty wealthy family. And, but I mean, it's not.
Watch.
Huh?
I can tell from your watch.
Thank you.
What is that, tailored?
What's that?
It's a merino? That's nice.
The suits Hugo Boss.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah. Yeah, that watch is a.
Of course it is. You're just sporting 2600 on your wrist. You're so white.
Yeah, no, I know. And yeah, so that's why it's, you know, I don't try to tell people my life is it was so difficult or anything.
Well,
but I think you know,
had your own difficulties.
Yeah, and there
that, and your life is different, and no one can judge you by your circumstances unless they've experienced those exact same circumstances, had your parents were given the same nutrition that you were given, had the same life experiences, unless they can experience that, which we may be able to in the future with all this Google technology and everything like that,
sure.
And I think that could ruin a better understanding of everyone. But we're not there yet, so fuck off, you can't judge me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, do you think, like, anyone gets me? I'm wicked smart. I'm not trying to boast or anything. I got a 28 on my SATs.
Me too.
Could have gone to any
fucking
number of mid-levels.
Section.
Oh, dude, I was off the charts on math.
Yeah, math, that was my good one, and then English and reading were good, and science.
Oh, my
fucking...
English is terrible, man.
I'm an English major.
I'm terrible. I have
writing
dyslexia.
And reading. Oh, really?
Yeah, so, like, I have true dyslexia, which is a word association disorder. It's the inability to spell words due to non-related thought process. So either you can't think of the actual word and picture it in your head if you think, like, pictures, or you can't picture the actual word if you think in words.
Okay.
So, because there's only two types of ways that people think is pictures and words.
Which are you?
Oh, I'm pictures, sort of. I actually describe my memory as
a
video.
So if I say, like Xbox, you have trouble picturing an Xbox?
No, it's only when I can't relate it to an image.
Oh, okay.
That I have, like,
trouble. Like a new concept, or?
Like... I had trouble spelling the word if once, because I can't relate.
Kind of
yeah, no, it's totally hilarious. But I can't relate that to a picture.
Yeah.
Like there, they are. Those are the kind of words that fuck me up.
Yeah.
Like house. I can always spell house.
People be fucked up to you with the theirs.
Yeah.
I
fucking me up with the theirs.
I know which one he is, but
person, place, or thing, I don't know.
But yeah, people are mean to people who use the wrong there.
Oh yeah. Well, people are cunty in general.
Yeah.
Especially across the internet. I think there's real value in being with some, like, I can't lie to someone when I'm face to face with them, but I can lie to you over the internet, no problem.
Oh, yeah.
No problem.
Yeah, I can't tell when people are lying to me, but I always trust people. But,
really?
Yeah.
I would think as a comic that you would be skilled in the art of deception.
No.
Like, because do you try and be as honest on stage as possible, or is. There's some aspects of your performance that you
There's
consider
like
a character.
A character, I mean, I don't know if it's honest to me, but it's a different form of expression than I have. I'm a lot more confident on stage and talkative. I mean, you have to
there's a little bit of an embellishment of your
yeah,
character.
Whereas, like, if, in person, if someone has, not always, but, I mean, I'm pretty laid back about most things, so if someone has a differing opinion than me, I'll just be like, eh, whatever, and just keep it to myself instead of getting in an argument, because it's not worth it.
But, I totally understand.
But, like, you know, when I'm on stage, obviously I'm much more vocal about my opinions because it's just, it's me.
It's your turn.
Yeah. But, so I don't know, but I think it's pretty honest to myself in the sense of, like, what I find funny. Some of it, there's no, I don't think, an inherent truth to it. It's just a fucking joke.
I like being really dirty while being really calm.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the way to sell dirty. In my mind, it, at least for my body type and the way I look, like, when people hear me talk so calmly like this, and then I use the word cunt so openly, it really sells it. It's just not so harsh. Because most people, when they hear the word cunt, are having it yelled at them.
Yeah, I mean, if you go cunt, that's like, I mean, that's mean.
It echoes through the room, too, and it's just not going to get a laugh. It's like, cunt, 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 cunt.
Yeah, and interesting about, like, you know, I think there's a difference between offensive and, like, racist or chauvinistic or anything like that. Because I think racism, anything like that, chauvinistic, it comes in the intent of the person using it. Whereas offensive is from the listener's point of view.
Yes.
So it's like, you can be offended by something, but it's, if the person didn't mean it to, in a way, to demean you, then they're not being that. Then they're not being racist or chauvinistic. They're just, they could be ignorant. That's possible.
People also, there's this new thing where people can't seem to take context and the fact that it's clearly a joke because you're comic at a stand-up comedy show trying to make people laugh.
Yeah, there's trigger words and where it's like,
like rape?
Yeah, rape, cancer,
retard.
Cunt, retard.
Nigger.
Yeah, and then the other racial slurs people are more okay with. But where it's like, they don't even...
They're really okay with Jew. I've never, ever had someone complain about me saying a joke about
Jew. Oh, yeah, I'll have... in certain areas, I'll have sets that, like, a lot of my stuff that I think is clever and a little, I don't do shit where it's like, I don't think... You know, because I don't think it's that great of comedy if people have to, like, rack their brains to get it. But I don't like doing it where it's like, this is the joke right in your face, you know, but I don't think it's like, but so some of the stuff that I think is cleverer and requires a little bit of thought doesn't go over well. If I do my stuff where, I have a joke where, cause I'm a surrogate child, where I talk about, you know, I don't look like either of my parents, I'm like, my dad's a Jewish man with Jewy features, and like, that'll get a laugh from that crowd, and it gets a laugh in general too, but when they, I'll notice people will only laugh at the kind of demeaning to Jewish parts of my set, and I'm Jewish, but...
I used to do a joke where I had to really cut it down. This joke was actually what taught me how to cut the fat off of the joke.
Yeah.
And now I've tightened it down, and it's... I went to a seminar once, and someone asked me what part of Israel I was from, and then I was pissed because no one ever told me that I looked like a Jew. And how dare they? I could have been an accountant and set for life.
You look a little way more Jewish than I do.
Is it the nose?
More than I do. No, it's
what
just,
is it about my face that makes me look Jewish?
I don't fucking know, dude.
I don't know either. I've gotten that multiple times.
I look, but it's bullshit, too, because I am Jewish, and my dad is my actual dad. It's my mother, who's technically my adopted mother, but,
Your mom, she raised you.
Yeah, she raised me, but I'm just saying biologically what I'm made of. She's Lebanese, actually.
Gives a fuck about biology.
Well, it contributes to your physical appearance. But, anyway,
it
I mean, I look like an Aryan, and...
You would do very well with the Brotherhood in prison.
Yeah.
Just saying, if you ever did go there...
As long as they don't hear my last name.
What's your last name?
We've been over this. Stein.
Oh,
but,
yeah. Well, it's Stein.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's
I'm
German
high.
For Stein. Yeah, I know. It's cool.
And, well, Stein is more German than anything.
Yeah, but I don't know.
As long as you pronounce
every
it Stein and not Steen, I think you'd be
Stein.
Okay.
Every Stein I've met is Jewish. And everyone who hears the name assumes it's
German
Jewish.
German Jew.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, and then they left for some reason.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder why.
I don't know
was it around
it was.
The 40s?
Yeah, something must have happened. No, Yeah, not bad.
Sorry, I heard this thing called Crystal Knot. It was a terrible thing. Everyone who has ever paid attention in history class was like, oh my god, what a great reference!
Yeah.
And everyone else is like, what the fuck is he talking about, meth?
Yeah. my closer I was telling you about, which, I had it worded in a way, it's like some of the references can be a little obscure, and but I reworded it and made there are more laughs along the way and made the punchline a little more obvious, and it works a lot better. So
yeah, but sometimes the clever punchlines are the trickiest ones to pull off.
Yeah, because you do have an obligation to the audience.
Yeah, something Jim Norton said, like, I always try and treat my audience with the same intelligence that I would want to be treated with.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's only so much I can do. I'm not going to be some people. I'm not going to be for some people. And that's like you're saying, audiences, like, who get offended and stuff. Or whatever. There's discriminating tastes. And I don't expect everyone to find me funny. You shouldn't expect to find everybody funny. Like, if you don't like some comic... If you're really offended, you could leave. You could just wait for the next one and hope you like that person better.
Right. And
unless it's like really, you know, I guess there maybe.
Don't write a blog about it though. Like,
yeah.
Seriously.
Oh, yeah. If it's, you know, I mean, if something's like really aggressive and it's not comedy.
Just approach that person after the show and be like, hey, I really was offended by what you did.
Yeah.
Comics are really nice people, and for the most part, we'll listen to you and just go, well, I'm sorry you were offended by that. That's just that it's a joke. I understand that it could be offensive to some people.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not
going to
be a dick about it.
But if I think of someone who came up, like, went up and was like, just started talking to a woman in the front row, was like, hey, you stupid fucking cunt, I'm going to rape the shit out of you, and there's just nothing funny in there,
yeah,
that could be construed as a joke,
then
sure, you can be. Outraged by that. I don't know of that happening, but
there's a lot of bad comedy out there, man.
And both
of us have produced some at some point or time.
Oh yeah, I use almost nothing from my first comedy set, and
okay.
I thought it was awesome.
Phil Kreischer said one time, he was like, I can't believe he still uses a bit that he wrote 20 years ago, and he's like, I'm such a fucking hack.
Yeah.
I never thought when I was 19, I'll be using this joke in 20 years.
Oh, I did. I thought, like, this stuff was
It's a great joke.
And it needed to...
It's a great joke.
Yeah.
He was talking, I was hitting on a black chick once, and she told me, and I asked, have you ever slept with a white guy? And she said, no, you guys smell like wet dog. And I said, really, you should try it sometime. It's a little different. It's like getting your ears pierced. It's a quick prick and then it's over. It's a great bit.
Yeah.
It's a great bit.
That is funny.
Do you ever talk about race?
Do I ever talk about race?
I mean, it's a dangerous subject to approach as a white man.
I think. No, I don't think I have. I used to have. I don't do it anymore just because I think it was a great joke. I can say it on here. It used to be my closer, but it's just outdated now. It was like when Enrique. I was like, you know, Enrique Iglesias made a comeback. He has a new song out called like "Tonight I'm Fucking You," and it's amazing that he went from "I want to be your everything, I can be your hero," to "I'm gonna fuck you while your boyfriend's out of town." It's like somewhere down the line, he went from being a Spaniard to a Mexican.
That's a great bit.
Yeah, I was doing it for a while, and it would still get
That's
big laughs.
That's a great bit.
But it was getting outdated even before I quit. Then when I came back, I was like, I can't do that joke anymore. That song's so fucking old
now. I have the best joke that I can only use once a year.
Yeah.
It's about Thanksgiving, and, I don't mind doing it because I only get to do it once a year,
right.
But I'll use it for like 2 weeks after that, and then it's done.
Mm-hmm.
There was one year where we went to Thanksgiving, and my cousin Charity was there, with her roommate. Mm-hmm. And we were going around the table saying what we were thankful for, and we got to charity, and she said, "I'm thankful for my girlfriend, blah, blah, blah." And everyone's jaw dropped so hard that I swear the wood table cracked in half. And the entire rest of the meal, a Thanksgiving meal, which is normally filled with wonderful conversation about the year and family events, was held in complete silence until very end of the meal, where everyone cleaned their plate, thanked my grandmother for a lovely evening, and exited the door. MasterCard could not have bought me such a great moment. The room was silent with the exception of my laughter, because it was the funniest moment I've ever been a part of. Do you understand how great that stereotype is? Not only did she give me the gift of coming out in front of me, she came out on the greatest holiday ever, Thanksgiving. It couldn't have been any better unless they were finger-banging each other underneath the Christmas tree.
Yeah, that's fine. You could use that.
It kills after Thanksgiving, but it's okay the rest of the time.
Yeah, everyone's in the holiday season.
Yeah, well, because everyone has fucked up family members, and then they're reminded of it around Thanksgiving, and they're like, fuck, man, there's a reason we all drink afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. You would think that St. Patrick's Day would be the biggest bar night of the year. Nope, it's the night after we all have to have dinner with our fucking
the
families.
The night before, right? It's the Wednesday. It's, the
I
night
thought
before.
It was the day after Thanksgiving.
No, it's the Wednesday night, the Thanksgiving. That's the biggest bar night of the year.
Oh, really? I thought it was the day after.
No, it's the Wednesday. Like, people, I just...
Well, I imagine it's also all the college kids coming
back. Yeah, everyone's home. Like, people fucking do their stupid, like, parties and stuff. It's...
You gotta check out Tom Segura.
Yeah.
Because he is hilarious. He is one of the best, like, OD stories I've ever heard in my life.
Nice. Were he OD'd?
Yeah. I don't know, on GHB.
Oh. Okay, that's Molly, right?
Molly Water, yeah. It's fantastic. If you've never tried it, kids, wait till you're 18, and then tell your parents you're taking GHB.
Yeah, I did, I went to a white party, which isn't racist, it's just a party where people wear all white, and, someone's like, and when I get drunk, like, I'll just do any drug anyone offers me, anyone, and so, but I knew this person, and, it was, and he's like, hey, I got some Molly, do you want some? I was, yes, please, and, I took some, I was just rolling so hard, but as I wanted to leave the party, I had enough of it. So I was wearing all white, like white linen pants, a white shirt, in Detroit, like in, you know, like around the still like a decent area where it wasn't like gangs and shit, obviously. It was like, you know, probably like half a mile from Comerica Park and stuff. But 2:30 in the morning, and I was fucking walking up and down the streets of Detroit trying to hail a cab like it was New York City.
That's why we
and
have
I just got
Uber
so
now.
Lucky that someone, like one of my friends, drove past me and like get the fuck in the car, and I didn't die.
Speaking of cabs, while I'm down in Florida, I'm going to see Christina Pazicki, who is Tommy Segura's wife, at the Orlando Improv. We'll give her a free plug. She's going to be there if you're in the Orlando area, February 20th through the 23rd. My parents were like, how are you gonna get there? You're not gonna have a car down there. And I was like, there's this new invention, it's called the taxi. It's this weird concept. I know it's completely foreign to you guys. You give them money and they drive you to where you wanna go. They were like, you don't have to be a smartass about it.
Well,
it was kind of a stupid question, so
I don't have much inflection in my voice ever, so a lot of people don't know when I'm being a smartass.
That's why I think
people,
you would like Tommy Segura.
A lot of people think I'm a smartass when I'm being sincere, too.
That's why I think you would like Tommy Segura. He does comedy a lot, like you, where he does this like low voice and
he makes people roll. And you're going to see
Christina Pazicki. Okay. Yeah, just check out your mom's house podcast.
Absolutely. And Christine, you got the plug. throwback.
I love her. She's so fantastic.
She should give us
hilarious.
A plug back.
I would love your Mom's House podcast. We'll tweet you, and we'll include you in the tweet. We threw you a free plug.
You really owe it to us. It's about the
Could
same.
Could you please just Zach and I we're struggling. Please,
I think you have the same viewership or followership.
I would love to get their same, because they get like 250,000 downloads per podcast. So yeah, a little bit more. But I mean, I love their podcast. It's hilarious.
Nice.
But it's getting to be late, and I have to be at work at 6 a.m., so we're going
to
wrap this up.
And I have to go 2.5 hours to get home.
Yay! Hopefully you don't hit a deer. You can follow me on Twitter. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Do us a favor. If you like the podcast, click the subscribe button on iTunes and leave us a review. It really helps out the show. We're never going to charge anything for this podcast. I do all the work myself. Never. Never. If we want to get sponsors who want to come on here, we'll give you some commercials in the beginning. I'd be happy to do it. I know the Fleshlight isn't with Joe Rogan anymore. He had the Fleshlight for
a
while.
I like how on the podcast they get to like really be themselves when they advertise.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's
pretty funny. Like Miranda's, the AdamandEve.com ones. It's pretty funny.
If anyone wants to sponsor this podcast, we'd love to have it. I will plug the shit out of your product. But we will never charge anything, so please just leave us a review.
Lysol.
It really helps.
Do you think it picked up the spray noise?
I hope so. Just leave us a review. It really helps us out. What do you want to plug, Zach?
I'll be at the Laugh Fest, Gillis Laugh Fest, March something. I think like the 15th or the 14th.
That's a great plug, the fact that he doesn't know his date.
You can, I'm on Twitter, but I don't post on it much. But you can find me on Facebook. I'm Zachary Stein. There's a few of us. I'm wearing pink tinted aviators and smoking a cigarette and not wearing a shirt.
Yeah.
Which is how I usually am.
You can follow me on Twitter at All Things Carter. What's your Twitter handle, Zach?
Zach Stein Be Funny. Like ZACSTEINBEFUNNY.
I'm glad you spelled that out for the listeners.
Yeah, well, because I normally have an H in my first name.
Oh.
But it was too many letters.
Gotcha. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Psycho Monkey Podcast. Good night!
Thank you so much for having me, Ben.
No problem, buddy. Oh, God. Pause.